In this letter, Paul is writing about how we are to live the Christian life, and he has explained a lot about the relationship that we have with Christ and what we were and how we are now, what we are now and how we've become Christians and so on. There's been a lot of truths that have been taught. That is Paul's way. Paul always begins with doctrine and then he moves to application. And that's something we need to take note of. We all like to know exactly what am I to do, what am I to do. But we need to remember the Bible's way is first know certain truths. And once you know certain truths, you can then know how to live your life on a day-to-day basis. So from this passage, Paul begins now to become very, very practical. You will have noticed when Mike was reading this chapter 3, particularly from verse 5, he is now very, very practical, put to death. Therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and covetousness and so on, he is now becoming very, very practical. But these four verses in the chapter 3, the opening verses of chapter 3, it is an appeal to heavenly mindedness. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So there in verse 1, you've got that appeal. And when he says if, of course there's no doubt here, he's writing to Christians, and you could translate that word since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. There's your appeal in verse 1, seek the things that are above. And then he underlines that in verse 2, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So he's saying to these Christians, if you want to live a Christian life, you want to do the things that he goes on to say in verse 5 onwards, put to death what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry and so on. If you want to put these things off, and the positive side from verse 12, if you want to put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. You want to do these things. You want to be a Christian. And you want the world to see that you're a Christian. You're a Christian in your attitude. You're a Christian in your daily ways of doing things. Well, you've got to start with being heavenly minded. It begins here. It begins with heavenly mindedness, which works its way out in our speech, in our thoughts, in everything that we do. And so this is what he means, that we are to seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Set your minds on the things that are above. What does it mean to seek the things that are above? Well, it means to be focused on Christ. It means to meditate on Christ. It means to read about Christ. It means to get to know Christ. Grow in your knowledge of Christ. It means to pray to Christ. Walk with Christ. And ask the Spirit daily to reveal Christ. In our Eastern culture, dying words are hugely important. When a person is dying, people gather around, the family gather around, and they want to hear this person who has lived many, many years and they're coming to their death. What do they want to say? What are their dying words? Now, let me ask you this question. The Apostle Peter, who, of course, knew the Lord Jesus and walked with him and served him greatly. Does anybody know what are the last words that Peter wrote? Peter's last words are, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those are the last words of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And that's it. He then died a little while later. Now that, you see, is this man who, of course, is an apostle and who's known the Lord Jesus, and he writes that. And in a sense, that's what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, be focused on Christ, meditate on Christ, get to know Christ, and grow in your knowledge of Christ. Be heavenly minded. It's very easy to become worldly, because we all live in the world. And we have to do with the world. We have dealings with the world. And it's easy to say, well, I must be wise in my worldly dealings. And that's absolutely right. We must. But we mustn't become just worldly and only worldly. In all our dealings, there is that ongoing communication with Christ. We are heavenly minded. We're seeking Him. We're asking Him for guidance. And we're seeking to be like Him. Now, the question I want to ask is this: why? Why must we be heavenly minded? And the reason I ask that question is because it's the question that Paul answers. In verses 1 and 2, Paul makes his appeal, be heavenly minded. You've been raised with Christ, he says, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Verse 2, set your minds on things that are above. And then notice verse 3 begins with, for, because. So in verses 3 and 4, he gives us the reasons why we must be heavenly minded. And there are three reasons that he has given there. Three reasons why we must be heavenly minded. And the first is this. I'm actually just reading the text and explaining it. And the first is this: for you have died. For you have died. Or as he says earlier in this letter, you died with Christ. Now, this is teaching that is central in the Bible. It's one of these things where when you read the scriptures, this business about we died with Christ is at the heart of it. And then when we think about our Christian lives and how we live our Christian lives, very few Christians seem to have grasped this truth. And certainly very few Christians seem to think about this, you know, on a day-to-day basis. You know, I ask you this question: how often do you think to yourself, I died with Christ? I have died. I wonder how, you know, it seems such an odd thing to think. It seems such a strange thing. If you're in a conversation with a non-Christian and a non-Christian say to you, well, how come you don't swear? Or how come you don't, you know, dishonest in your affairs? And you, if you were to say, well, you know, I died with Christ. They, you know, wait a minute, I thought we were talking common sense. I thought you were an intelligent person. We were talking common sense. And now you come out with this. But actually, biblically, this is a central issue. It's a very big issue. Will you just turn with me a few pages to Romans and chapter 6? This is the great treatment on this subject, Romans and chapter 6. Let me just give you the background very briefly. Romans is about justification. In Romans, Paul is saying, we are saved by faith alone in Christ alone, not by our works. Our works do not save us. Christ saves us. And it is faith in Christ that saves us. Now, Paul, as he writes this letter to the Romans, imagine some people asking a question. And he states that question and answers it. And there it is in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? You see the logic. Look, I'm not saved by my works. My works go no distance at all in my salvation. They do not contribute to my salvation. When God saves me, He doesn't say to me, you must give me some of your works. My works play no part, have no contribution in my going to heaven. It is Christ and His works that save me. So then, well, why don't I just live a life of sin? Why don't I just continue in sin? After all, my sins don't, my works don't save me. So they're asking this question, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Now look at his answer. This is very important. He says in verse 2, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Isn't that interesting? Somebody comes to you, a young Christian comes to you and says, we're saved by grace, aren't we? And you say, yes, praise God, we're saved by grace. We're saved by faith, aren't we? Yes, praise God, we're saved by faith in Christ. We're not saved by our works, are we? No, we're not saved by our works. My good works don't save me. No, your good works don't save you. So the young Christian says to you, well, then I'll just live a life of sin. I wonder how you would answer. I wonder if you would bring this to him, you died with Christ. You died to sin. That's what Paul answers. So this is the teaching that's there in Romans chapter 6. It's the teaching here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. For you have died, you died with Christ. What does this mean? Now, I have explained it before. I don't think I need to go into it in great detail. But let me just briefly explain what it means. We were in the realm of sin. We were in that realm where sin rules. And this is where we were. We were in the realm of sin. And we lived a life of sin. And we found our pleasure in sin. And all our thoughts were thoughts of sin. All our ways, all our words were ways and words of sin. We were in the kingdom of darkness. But God in Christ has removed us from that kingdom of darkness and brought us into his kingdom. And the way that the New Testament represents that transfer, that removal from the kingdom of darkness, from the realm of sin, is to say, you died. You lived in that realm once. You've died. You no longer live in that realm. You are now in a new realm. Just as Christ came to this earth, and in the next few weeks in John's Gospel, I expect we're going to explore the humanity of Christ in some detail. Now, when Christ came to this earth, in a sense, he lived in the realm of sin. He himself never sinned. But he was living in a world where sin ruled, where there is death, there is suffering, there's mourning, there's sinful actions everywhere. All around him were sinful actions. He lived in this realm of sin. And then he died. He died on that cross. And he rose again. And he was no longer in the realm of sin. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. And just as he died, so we who are baptized in him. And incidentally, in Romans 6, this is not water baptism. This has nothing to do with water baptism. This is union with Christ. This is being one with Christ. This is being a member of the body of Christ. This is being a member of the bride of Christ, joined to Jesus Christ. We are joined to Jesus Christ. So when he died, we died. When he rose from the dead, we rose with him. And so we are no longer in the realm of this world. And so Paul says, you are to be heavenly minded because you are no longer in the realm of this earth. Yes, you live here, but this is not your real home. You have died, or you died with Christ. So that's his first reason why we are to be heavenly minded. It is because we died with Christ. The second reason, which I've sort of touched on, and the second reason still in verse 3, and so you've got that second reason. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is his way of saying you are in union with him. We're dealing, you may find this rather surprising to hear me say this. We are dealing this afternoon with some of the most important theological things of the New Testament. When the New Testament, particularly the epistles of the new letters of the New Testament, when we read these letters, some of these hugely important themes: we died with Christ, we are in union with Christ. Do you know these are absolutely at the heart of New Testament Christian theology? Do you know the favorite way in which Paul refers to Christians? In Christ. That is Paul's favorite way of speaking about Christians, in Christ. You read his letters to the church at Rome, in Christ, to the church at Corinth, in Christ, to the church at Ephesus, in Christ. All these Christians, he always goes back to this: you are in Christ. You are married to him. You are a part of his body. These pictures we have in the New Testament of Christians' relationship to Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. So we have been grafted into him. Paul, in chapter 2 of this letter, talks about how we have been rooted in Christ. Or we are the sheep of Christ. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down for his sheep. And his sheep know him. My sheep know me. They hear my voice and they know me. There's that relationship again. Or Paul writing to the Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her because she is his bride. So all these pictures of a relationship between the believer and Christ. And so Paul is saying, be heavenly minded because you are now in union with Jesus Christ. You're in a relationship with him. Many of you here are married. I was married at one time. And I remember what it was like to be married, particularly when I was on a journey. And you think about your spouse. You miss your spouse. Of course you do. You're on a journey and you're staying in a hotel and you're on your own. You miss your spouse. And your thoughts go to your spouse. And you think about, I wonder what she's doing. And I wonder if she's feeling lonely. I hope she's okay with the children. I hope she's coping with the children. I hope all things are well. And I remember in Africa, in those days we didn't have mobile phones. And I used to go around looking for a phone. I'd say, can anybody lend me a phone? I don't mind giving you some money. Is there a phone box? Is there somebody's house here in this village where there's a phone? I'd just like to make a phone call to my wife. I remember once being in the remote desert. And this person had a satellite phone. And he said, it costs £5 per minute to make a call to Nairobi. And I said, I'll give you £10. Can you give me 2 minutes? Just wanted to talk to my wife. Because you're in union. You know, it's not just a friend, is it? You're in union with that person. And you just, how are you? How are things with you? Are you okay? Do you need me back? Are you coping okay? And so on. These thoughts are there. Well, Paul says, we are in union with Christ. And because we're in union with him, our thoughts are to be there. Do you notice how he brings Christ in this? In verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. It's not just heaven, not just a place. It's a person where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So we are to be heavenly minded because we died with Christ. We are no longer in the realm of this earth. Yes, we live here, but we don't belong here. And we are to be heavenly minded because we are in union with Christ. Our life is hid with him. We belong to him. And then the third reason in verse 4. We are to be heavenly minded because we will appear with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now this is obviously a reference to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And obviously, huge numbers of Christians will still be here on earth when the Lord Jesus appears. But a very vast multitude will appear with him. And so this is what he's talking about, that there will come a day when this will be, there'll be a consummation of everything. This world as it is, this earth the way it's going, will all come to an end. And a new heavens and a new earth will appear. And the Lord Jesus Christ will appear. And the new heavens and the new earth will have no sin, no death, no mourning, no weeping, no sickness, nothing of that kind. It will be a perfect earth, restored. And we will have resurrection bodies. And those bodies will never age. They will never deteriorate. They will never die. Now, what will be the new heavens and the new earth? Union with Christ. Enjoyment of Christ. Fellowship with Christ. Worshipping Christ. Enjoying Christ. Growing in our knowledge of Christ. You know, heaven isn't a place. Heaven essentially is a person. This is why so little detail is given in the Bible about heaven the place. We really know nothing about what it looks like, because that's not the important thing. I remember saying to a member recently, we were talking about heaven, and I said, you know, even if it's the most beautiful place, where there is no sin, no dying, no weeping, perfect place, and we have resurrection bodies, if Christ is not there, I don't want to be there. Because it's only a place. And what is the enjoyment of a place without the one whom you love? Heaven is Christ. And all our thoughts of heaven will be on Christ. Heaven is actually eternal worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal meditation in the Lord Jesus Christ, growing to be more, growing more and more in our knowledge of Him, and growing more and more in our love for Him. That's heaven. That's the joy of heaven. Heaven is not enjoying things. It's enjoying the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't enjoy anything until we first enjoyed Christ. And so he says, He is your eternal life. He is the one with whom you will spend eternity. And so he's basically saying, why do we have to be earthly minded when our great hope is Christ, the coming Savior? And so he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So three reasons why we are to be heavenly minded. Can I encourage you in this, friends? Let us seek to be more and more heavenly minded, to set our thoughts on things that are above. Meditate on Christ. Read the Gospels where Christ is revealed. Read books about Christ. And think more and more of Christ. And the central thing, pray daily that the Holy Spirit of God will reveal Christ to you. This is His central purpose in coming. Why did the Holy Spirit come? To reveal Christ. And as He reveals Christ more and more, so we love Him more and more. Because He is, in His essence, a lovely person. And so the more we understand Him, the more we love Him. Our hearts will love Him more because we see just how lovely He is. At the moment, our thoughts of Him, well, we know He's lovely, but we haven't fully got it. We need to grow in our knowledge of His loveliness, of His grace, His mercy, His compassion, and to love Him more. And as we love Him more, we become more like Him. Meditate much on Christ. Meditate much on heavenly matters. This is what leads to a godly life here on earth. Verses 5 and onwards follow straight from this. Heavenly mindedness leads to holiness on earth.